this. Welcome to the Game Speed Decides podcast. This is the podcast where we decide everything about the world of games so you don't have to think for yourself. I'm your host, Jeffrey Grubb, and with me is...
Mike Minotti.
Hooray, Mike is here!
I'm here.
Yeah, we're going to talk about games, we're going to talk about news. Mostly, we're going to talk about you.
Me? Why?
I don't.
What do you want to know about me?
I mean, just tell us what you've done.
Like, with the body?
We know what you've done, Mike. Just tell us.
I don't have to answer these questions. They seem self-accusatory.
We just really wanted to establish a really weird energy for this show. So I'm going to get
rid of it. You have a lot of weird energy today.
I do. I you know what it is. I was telling you, I did like four interviews already today. So I'm out of it, Mike. I'm not out of it. I'm over it. I'm done.
These are a lot of work. I can't do more than one a day, man. That sounds hard.
It's just my body wants to shut down. My brain wants to stop communicating with other humans. I'm over it.
Yeah,
but
I know.
We'll get through this episode, and then I'll go lay down somewhere in the yard or something.
in the yard.
Yeah. First, though, I want to thank everybody for joining us. You can get more from me and Mike at gamesbeat.com. If you have something to share with us, you can email the podcast at gamespluspodcast@venturebeat.com. If you're listening to this on the website player widget, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher. If you like the show, rate us on Apple Podcasts. That's how people find the show. And then thank you to Carlos Sain, who is Insane in the Rain Music on YouTube for the use of our theme song. All right, Mike. Yo. I just said, I don't know. All right.
Settle down, you.
All right. Okay. All right. News.
Got news to get to. Yeah.
Got news to get to. We do have, there's actually more news than I even remembered putting into this list. So yeah, we should just do that. Let's start here, right here with number one. That's a good one. Pricey Parts, which is, I think, a porn name, have pushed the cost of Sony's PlayStation 5 to around $450 a unit. That's forcing a difficult price setting decision for Sony, sources say. And this comes from Bloomberg News. Not Mike Bloomberg. Well, he owns it, but from his news company. I don't know. This is kind of, I was kind of expecting this. Does that sound like a lot to you, Mike? Like, at least $470, which is what they say, like, the lowest it could possibly be priced at still make money?
I guess a little, just in terms of, like, you know, maybe we're spoiled or whatnot from the $400 from the last cycle, which seemed to be a reaction to the slow start that, like, right, the PlayStation 3 had. So, I mean, these things are cyclical in the way that it kind of seems like we go from, like, really expensive to trying to be, like, moderately priced again to being really expensive again. Right. So, yeah, I guess that's where we are now again. So it's not, maybe not a huge surprise. I still think, like, some people think, like, the system's going to end up costing $600. I think that's not going to happen. Yeah. I think $500 maybe is a possibility. But
so for context, in this story, they explained it as well. The PlayStation 4, right before it came out, some people broke it apart and were like, okay, this thing cost about $380 to make. And then they priced it at $400. So if it costs $450 to make, which is, to me, actually surprisingly low based on what's in this thing, I wouldn't be surprised, like, definitely $500, but maybe they do try to actually, like, sell it for, like, $480 or something like that, $470. I might expect $500, though, just because they'll probably want some room to play with if they need to, like, discount it for whatever reason, or if parts start getting more expensive because of a catastrophe or something. They'll have some, pillow room where they can, you know, cushion that fall a little bit. But, you know, these things, they have really cutting-edge CPUs. It's not like they're using old off-the-shelf CPUs. They're using, like, AMD's current generation of CPU that they're selling for PCs right now. That's what's going into these systems. They'll be slightly out of date by the time these things launch, but only slightly. They'll still be, like, magnificent CPUs. They're going to be great, way better than what we had last generation. So they're still going to be, like, quite valuable. And then the GPUs seem like they're kind of be in that same range. And, like, those two things alone are going to push up the cost of the system. But then it's also using these SSDs, these NVMe SSDs that are, you know, they're getting cheaper. They're getting more affordable, but they're also expensive. So I was almost expecting these things to have to be $600 just based on, like, how much they were going to cost, or $500 at a loss. So to me, at $450 per unit, that's like, okay, they have some room to play with, actually. I was kind of expecting these things to always be $500, with maybe $400 surprising us, like you said. What do you think about Microsoft? Do you think that they're just going to like try to match whatever Sony does?
I think they're both going to end up being pretty close. I don't think they're going to have a lot of wiggle room to play the whole, we're going to be $100 cheaper game right this time.
Yeah, it seems like if anything, Microsoft's going to be slightly more expensive because based on like current rumors, who knows? But current rumors say that it's like a slightly more powerful, slightly more expensive to build, and I would imagine that they'll try to match price whatever Sony does. And that's what one of the things that the story says is that Sony's waiting to see what Microsoft does before deciding on a price. And that also is really, really common across everything when it involves computer components. Like just on like the GPU side of things, AMD and NVIDIA really don't pick a price until like a week before they actually start selling the things, because they are in such fierce competition right now. Every dollar matters. And so if AMD does one thing, NVIDIA is going to do another thing, and then AMD is going to respond to that other thing, and they're going to try to find the best price to really compete. And I would imagine that's going to carry over into these consoles, and they're going to decide the price pretty late in the process. So we'll see how that goes. Story number two. Half-Life Alyx got a release date. It's coming March 23rd, 2020. So a day after my birthday, Mike. So you'll have to get me something else.
Oh, man. I just realized, like, I do not have like anything to play this on right now.
No, I'll send you something. Let's get that figured out. I've got three headsets. I need to get one of them out of my house anyhow. So,
yay.
So yeah, okay. That's a deal. I think I'll send you the original Vive. That's probably the best thing other than, cause I'm going to keep the Index. That's
of course. Yeah. I
don't yeah. yeah. But the Vive will be really good. Cause that way you can have room scale and all that stuff. So you're set. I mean, they're sticking to their date. It sounds like,
yeah, before we knew it was March. And I think everyone, you know, the Valve time, ha ha ha. Yeah, but, like, we're so far removed from, like, the last time Valve time was right. Even really a thing. Like it, clearly they announced this game, like, when it was just about ready anyways.
Yes.
So I was never that concerned about delays or anything. But, yeah, it is bizarre. Like, next month, we're gonna have this.
Yeah, I guess, it is coming up fast, so I should probably ship that to you soon. When we get off this call, we'll figure that out.
Cool.
All right. Kotaku reported this. I didn't look into it much. I was going to ask you if you saw anything about it. A playable Xbox build of StarCraft Ghost leaked.
Yes. I mean, aside from seeing some screenshots of it. So, I mean, StarCraft Ghost existed, like, in multiple builds. I think multiple times they restarted development or even got new studios on it.
Right.
And this one seems to be from the original Xbox like version of it, and at some point like this game was going to come out on, like GameCube and stuff like that. So this is like a pretty early version of it. So I mean, kind of just looking, it looks like kind of like an early like kind of Splinter Cell esque thing or something like that. I guess you would describe.
So people that don't know, there was a time when Blizzard was like working on all kinds of other games from some of its other from its franchises, and one of the biggest ones for a long time was StarCraft Ghost. Like we knew right. about it; it was coming. It was going to be this third person action game, and it never happened. And then they officially canceled it years later.
So I mean, I haven't like you know played it or anything. I don't know how easy it is to get this, or even if you really can get it. But right. You know, something similar happened before with that StarCraft Warcraft point-and-click adventure game.
Right, that's true.
Where people were wondering about that for forever, and then like eventually, like basically that full game release, and you could download that right now and actually play it. So, you know, this isn't without precedent.
Right. Well, I don't know. We'll keep an eye out for that. Maybe I will look into see how easy that is to get running. Give that a shot. Okay, just devastating news. Broken up. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, cut.
Jeff Keighley is skipping E3. Okay, honestly, I don't know. I didn't really know what to make of this whole thing because it's like, okay, don't go to E3 then. I don't know. Like, I never really associated E3 with Jeff Keighley. So I guess,
I mean, for us, because, like, you know, we're there working closely. I guess for the, you know, if you're playing at home, I guess his pre-show is more important than I realized. Or
is it? Okay. I didn't know.
His talking thing, I guess, right? Because I'm kind of the same way. Like, is this a big deal? I guess it is, judging by the way people are reacting. I don't know.
See, so, like, the one thing I knew he did do was the E3 Coliseum. And my thing was, like, actually, nobody cares about the E3 Coliseum. I am confident in saying that. Like, No one at the show cared, even like fans.
I imagine it's probably not as big a deal as people are making out to be, but because it's like another thing to pile on the whole E3 is dying narrative. And it's kind of weird. Like he has an explanation, like I just don't think it's gonna be worth it, basically. And again, it's like, well, because, you know, Sony's not going to be there, but they weren't there last year. And we still know that Microsoft's going to be there, and they're going to have a brand new system to talk about. Nintendo's going to be there with, you know, however many games they're going to have. So, I don't know. It seems a little weird to me. Like, I don't want to say I don't believe him, but a part of me is like, there's something else going on here.
Yeah, maybe he can get better exclusives for one of his other shows that he does, which is like the thing before Game... what is it? Gamescom.
He does the thing for
Open Night Live or whatever. And then Game of the Year Awards. The Game Awards. So maybe just like by not being involved in E3, he can like focus more time on that or something. I don't know. I'm speculating. I really have no idea. But I wasn't sure why this was exactly a big thing. Like he really seems super apologetic, and I just didn't quite get it. So, all right. EA is moving Need for Speed back to Criterion. It originally was developed at Criterion for a little bit, and this is like after they worked on Burnout. Then they created a new studio just to work on Need for Speed called Ghost Games. Now Ghost Games is going to be a support studio instead, which Criterion has been for the last little bit. Now Criterion is making the games instead, but it's like not that Criterion because a lot of people who worked at that studio have left. So I guess I don't really get this one either, Mike. It just seems like a lot of change around names for no good reason.
I have no idea. I'm still trying to figure out like that Need for Speed game that came out last year that like nobody knew was happening, and then it came out. Everyone's like, actually, it did pretty well. I'm like, did it? Because because now we're hearing like this big shift is happening. So, I have no idea what's going on with that franchise. Like, to me, it almost sounds like good news because I like Burnout games more than I like Need for Speed games.
Right.
I think some of the people who actually like Need for Speed are kind of, like, rolling their eyes a little bit because they're just going to get, like, another Burnout Paradise clone, which the Need for Speed games had been anyways, even when Criterion's not really working on them.
Right, so, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, it seems confusing. I agree with you, like... We heard like, oh, it did what we expected, or even better. And it's like, well, then why the shift? Why the change if it's going so well? But to me, like, that's a series that has needed an identity for a really long time. And that's not to say it doesn't have its fans. Like, there's clearly Need for Speed stands out there who are like really they always are going to come back to this franchise. You know, just because it's what they played when they were kids or whatever, and they're really into cars, and that's cool. But I think for EA, they're going to have to, or they want to grow beyond something like that. And the franchise just doesn't have an identity to the point where a major franchise release can happen and no one notices, which is just, that seems kind of unacceptable, I think, if you're EA. But, you know, that's not what we were hearing. So it was very confusing for a while. But, you know, Criterion, they had that game at E3 a couple years ago where it was like, Extreme Sports, here's some images of us working on the game.
I remember this.
Right, and then nothing ever happened with that. And then they were still going to work on that for a while, and then like there's some rumors about Burnout coming back, and that like that didn't that doesn't seem like it's, yeah.
Well, maybe
like
that game is becoming a Need for Speed game is what's right. happening.
And then they also worked on like the Star Wars VR thing in Battlefront, and so like Criterion's off doing all kinds of other stuff. So it's, I don't know. I just don't know what that studio is anymore. But figure out Need for Speed. Sure, if that's going to continue to be your racing game instead of Burnout, for me, I'd almost be like, just bring back Burnout instead. But
yeah, I know, right? Like Burnout was popular for a bit. Like we really can't even try to bring that back at this point.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, to me, this just says Need for Speed just sells better than Burnout does. I guess. Fair enough. Whatever. Okay, GeForce Now launched. I think we talked about that last episode. It was like $5 a month, or there's a free tier. But then Activision Blizzard, which was a part of this, pulled all of its games from the service, or asked NVIDIA to do that. And now it sounds like NVIDIA is just saying, oh, we thought we had an agreement, and it was a misunderstanding, and we are working to get the games back on there. We thought we had a commercial agreement, and it turns out we didn't. It's just kind of weird that could happen, I guess. To me, it always seems like lawyers are so crazy about these things, like this would never happen. So I don't know. It's just kind of another weird thing happening this week. I don't know if this is going to how GeForce Now is going to work, though, where like they have to go out and get agreements from every single developer and publisher. It maybe it's not exactly the service I always dreamed it was going to be. To me, it's like, if I own a game, I just want to be able to like boot up a cloud version of a PC and just open up Steam and pick any game from a list. And if a publisher could just like say, well, no, you can't do that, because it's like, we want to control exactly how you play our games. That's a bummer. And to me, it like makes GeForce Now a little bit less valuable. I don't know. I feel like there's no point in ever bringing up cloud stuff on here, because you're like, well, it all sucks anyhow.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. But I mean, you know, cloud stuff sucks.
You know what? Good, well said.
I tell you what, this defense seems to just be just like, I can say it every week.
Yeah,
every, like, here's a
you're new never you're not wrong.
Cloud games that are weird, and yeah, I'm like, not. Yeah, well, they're awful.
You're not wrong.
Weird.
Yeah, fair enough.
You're all still just so excited about it, even though you pay like $50 a month for blazing fast, like, internet speeds and consoles and other things. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know why you all yeah. care.
You're not wrong, for sure. Okay, so getting back to EA, they posted a blog from BioWare where they confirmed the long-held rumors that they are going to reboot Anthem. How excited are you, Mike?
Excited may not be the word, but interested, I guess. But, I mean, right, like, reboots can mean so many things, and people like immediately want to say Final Fantasy XIV and Realm Reborn. So people forget like that endeavor took years.
Yes.
And it was like this very intense process where they were updating the original game, so like the people who are subscribing could still play it while making the new game. Like they used a lot of assets, but they basically made a new game. It's not going to be that extensive for Anthem, I don't think.
I mean, it doesn't make sense, right? That's way too much work for this thing.
Well, it's going to have to be more extensive than, like, another example is, like, you know, Destiny the Taken King. It's probably going to be more extensive than that.
Right, and they've said so much, said as much as that. They're like, it's not something that we could just do with a DLC or with a patch. It's got to be more elaborate than that. They did confirm that much.
Are you a little surprised that, like, they are going to do that and not just kind of write this off and move on? Because, I mean, you know, they got their initial sales. They maybe made some money. Is it that important to them that they do turn this into some live service thing that's going to just work out forever?
Yeah, and it's like, what is the motivation here, right? Is it to get the, like, what you just said, which seems like, okay, from a business standpoint, yeah, that I guess that makes some sense. But, like, there's an opportunity cost there where it's like the time you're putting into this, you could be putting into something new.
Yeah, you could be having these people help with, like, the next Dragon Age.
Right, or even
else.
A new service game, like, something right. completely new. Or is it, like, about, like, okay, we have to make this work. We have to make this right to sort of save BioWare's reputation so that its future games have as much cachet as possible. To me, that seems like not the way that a modern corporation thinks, at least for the most part. I mean, I guess
that is how they thought with Final Fantasy XIV.
Right, exactly.
It's
right.
unacceptable that people don't like a main numbered Final Fantasy game. Yes. We have to do something about that.
Right, so is it that sort of thing? And if it's that sort of thing, like, okay, but like, do you have the stomach for this? Because this is gonna take a lot. Like this, and this is not just it's not just like, okay, it's gonna take like a lot of new assets and figuring out like a new story and stuff. It's like getting Frostbite Engine to work in the way that it has never worked for this game, to the point where like you have animation tools where you could have these NPCs that actually make sense, or maybe you're going to have to make this a completely different game where the story is like very minimized and all the other stuff, like the missions and running through that stuff. And like, maybe the lore is in like cards and stuff like the first Destiny.
Yeah. And I mean, that probably should have happened anyway. I don't know anyone who cared about the story in Anthem aside from
right.
my brother, who always cares about these things. but I mean, they can't change the engine, right? Like no matter,
right, yeah,
what,
you
no
can't.
Matter how crazy it gets, it's going to be in Frostbite still.
Right. And that, to me, that seems like, okay, so you're going to try to continue to make this game work. And to me, like, you should just be pulling out of Frostbite at this point for these kinds of games at your company. Go start something else on Unreal or a more friendly engine, whatever it is. And don't be like held back by this technology that continues to plague these games from especially from BioWare. I mean, to me, like, the other thing here is, like, it's not like it's impossible that this could work. Like, they could pull it off and it could, like, fix everything. And, you know, they could get people on their team that are great with the tools or can improve the tools and make them better so everyone can get everything they want out of this game. But that's going to have to happen within the next year or two at the most. Like, and 2 years of trying to remake Anthem, who is going to care about an Anthem 2.0 in 2022? Like, holiday 2022, like, it's going to be so far removed from this game at that point, which they say they're going to keep it running, but they're not going to, like, add a lot to it.
No, they're going to add probably barely anything. I don't think they're going to spend more than a year on this.
Right. That puts it, like, you know, right when the new consoles come out. There's a chance there for that to succeed if it works, but it's just, like, how much can they really do in a year? I guess it's been a little bit longer than a year. The game came out, you know, almost a year ago now, but, like, it's not like they've been working on this reboot since then. So I don't know. It just seems like, to me, I can't see how it works unless there's been a lot of improvements to the tools that we don't know about. If that's the case, then yeah, maybe. But, if it's anything where, like, they're still struggling to get, like, NPCs to animate in any way, let alone a lifelike way, I can't see it happening within a year.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of investments in Anthem 1.0 in, like, things like the story and the cutscene.
Yeah.
And, like, for this kind of game, like, you get so little return out of that stuff that I think that this time around, I think there's going to be less of that, and I think that would probably be a very good idea.
Yes, I think you're probably right, where it's like, and they, if you read what they wrote carefully, they don't talk about story. They talk about all the other aspects of the game.
Right. They talk about loot, progression, and content. Yeah. And I mean, like, that's the stuff that matters, man.
And that's the stuff that they probably can fix and do it within a year. And then once the game is, like,
spending time in the mocap studio, like, stuff like, no, I don't care.
And if once they get that, like, foundation in place, they can figure out some of the other stuff with the story if they want. Then they have, like, room to play with. But, like, right now, get that other stuff fixed first. Yeah.
I think the problem was, like, they were so convinced, like, we're BioWare. We make story-based games.
Right.
Story really has to matter here.
Yes.
And then, like, you know, so, like, they spent a lot of effort in that, making a story that was, you know, nonsense or shallow, not very good. And it's like, I don't know. I mean, Anthem has so many problems that we've talked about before. We could just keep talking about it. But we'll see what happens now.
Yep.
We're not going to be done talking about it yet.
Yeah, I guess not. I guess we won't be. All right, let's get on to some NPD. So NPD got reported late last week. For people that are listening, if you were wondering, like, oh, I didn't see it at the normal time, they've switched when they do it. Instead of on like Thursday evening, now they're doing it on Friday morning. So look out for it on GameSpeed on Friday. Like, I think it's like the second Friday of each month or something like that. But Just pay attention to our Twitter feed. We'll let you know
when it's happening. Not a super exciting month, right?
No, not a lot to say. Mostly it's just like, once again, sales are down. They're down a lot, and they're down because it's a tough comparison to last January. Like, what was the big release in January? Do you even remember?
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Well, no, I mean, obviously, but this January.
Oh, this January was Dragon Ball Goku.
Yeah.
Or Kakarot.
Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, right. And then not much else. And then in last January, you're right, it was Kingdom Hearts 3, it was, what else? I wrote them all down here. It was New Super Mario Bros. U, Resident Evil 2, and then Super Smash Bros. Ultimate had just come out in December and was continuing to sell a ton into January. That comparison makes it look bad. Also, we're at the end of a generation. And so just all these things, like, overall sales were down like 30% almost in that range. But, you know, it's not like it was like, oh, this is unexpected. Oh, my God, everything's falling apart. Everyone was expecting this. It totally makes sense. It's not like a panic.
I guess the thing that seems to be surprising people a little bit is just how fast Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are falling off hardware sales was.
Yeah, I think a big part of that, yes, it is a little bit more extreme than last generation is what it seems like. But the overall, the generation is significantly ahead of last generation. If you line up the sales of PS3 and Xbox 360 and you compare them and line them up with the sales of Xbox One and PlayStation 4, I believe that the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One have sold 4% or 6% more over this time. So to me, what this just says is that more people got into this console generation faster than they did last generation. Like, more people jumped on board. And so that those people that would like still be buying consoles at this point, they already have them. They already bought one. And at the same time, like, console, the prices haven't dropped into like the $150 range or anything like that. Or
no.
So that's still like
the PlayStation 4 Pro and kind of Xbox One X kind of saw to that, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And like, you can get like one of those cheaper ones for like $200, $250, when they're on sale, I think. But even then, like, they're, I think they're still more expensive than that. And yeah, $200 when they're on sale. So yeah, it's. But I still think like those systems are doing just fine. And then like if you look at like Sony and Microsoft's actual financials overall, they are really solid in terms of like making more revenue than ever before at this point of a console generation. Normally they're about to lose money, and now they are actually both still making quite a lot because of their services. So they're not as worried as they might have been. If it was just like, oh, we don't have like Xbox Live Gold and Game Pass and PlayStation Plus making us all this money, so they can afford to hold off on like continuing to drop the prices on their next on the last gen or current gen consoles. Not too much else to say. Grand Theft Auto 5 made it back into the top 5, but again, that's because there wasn't a lot of new releases. Still, kind of a wild thing for that game to be back in the top.
Do you think are they going to like make another new version of that for PlayStation 5?
Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, I was wondering. Like,
it's like, why not? Because, like, you probably just sell, like, another 20 million copies right. of that game, what apparently.
You just sell, like, a Grand Theft Auto 5, like, game of the generation, or, like, game of the decade, right? Like, you sell, like, Grand Theft Auto 5, game of the decade edition for PlayStation 5 and Xbox, you know, whatever. And, yeah, I think a lot of these games that have sold like this will get exactly that. And the old version will probably still work, but the new version will be like the one that people who like go to buy this console
super and fast load times and
yeah,
whatever exactly. else.
Who knows? There will be something. They'll think of something. They will. Even if it's just to sell to people who don't already own it.
Maybe they'll be like Atlas and make us beg for it on Twitter for
no. Yeah. What the hell was the deal with that?
What is going on, right? Yeah. So, I mean, can you explain this?
Yeah. So I think it's like the chief communications officer or something with Atlas. She did an interview, and it was basically someone asked, hey, what about Persona 5 Royal on Switch? Doesn't that make sense? And the executive said, yeah, we've heard that. We get it. We get why people want that. And if they want it, they should continue to make their voices heard and really like continue to fight for it. I'm a big believer in not giving up hope. And it's like, what? Wait, what? What do you mean?
What do you mean? Like, this isn't like...
It's literally anything. That's the only thing people talk about when you bring up Persona is yeah. It should be on Switch. It's literally the only thing you hear.
This isn't people asking for, like, you know, a higher minimum wage or something. Yeah. This is like a business decision that'll be good for you.
Yeah.
We have to convince you of it. I don't know. Like, maybe it's supposed to be that, like, Sony does have some rights to it and, like, they need the fans to pressure them.
Doesn't make sense.
But that doesn't make much sense. So it's like, it's so bizarre to me because like all those Persona games, release them on Switch. People will buy them. And like, it's like, we heard that people kind of want that. It's like, oh, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Everybody just assumed that that when they were making that new version of Persona 5, that it would be on Switch.
The surprising
thing was that when it wasn't.
When it was on the same system you already released the game on, and now you're doing that again, which, all right, hey, you do you. That seems like you might be missing out on some sales, though. And, like, we said it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's not that it doesn't make sense that they have a deal. That makes a lot of sense. The idea that, like, if we shout loud enough about it, Sony be like, you know what? We don't like money as much as you say we do. Go ahead, have this game. Like, no, we can't convince Sony of that. If they paid their money, and they're gonna get their deal. Like, that's only fair. Just tell us that, I guess.
Well, gee, those Nintendo fans sure are making a lot of noise on Twitter. They have a hashtag and everything.
I feel pretty bad about this. We should be kinder, shouldn't we? And let them have that game on the Switch.
What's going on? I mean, it's like this Persona, like, is still kind of acting like the small kid in town, even though, like, Persona 5 sold millions of copies.
Yeah.
It's kind of like your G-golly G-ness isn't really, like, working here. I'm kind of, like, over it.
Yeah, well, it's a weird, weird, weird thing. I hope that it's just them actually, like, playing coy and doing it badly, but playing coy and being like, oh, it's coming. We're just trying to, like, you know, we're running out the clock on our deal or whatever. But, like, what is that deal that's, like, they can't, I mean, okay, it is Atlas, and I know they're, like, really slow about, like, moving these games around. Like, it takes them a long time. Like, Persona 3 or whatever was still on PlayStation 2 or whatever. What there was something like that.
Persona 4 was on PlayStation 2.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah.
See, Persona, like, 3 was a late PlayStation 2 game, so. Right, it's like, okay, 2007, was, yes. Persona 4 came out for PlayStation 2.
Yeah. Right, that's their thing. Like, maybe, clearly, they're just not very speedy when it comes to these things, so even if they did decide to put it on Switch, it's probably going to take a long time. But it just, yeah, it just feels like, yeah, I don't know. They'll run out the clock on this deal and then maybe bring it to Switch at that point. So we'll see. Only other things from the MPD, the Xbox Elite Series 2 is, it's the third month in a row where it was the top selling peripheral or accessory. And it's the fifth fastest selling gamepad ever. Or not gamepad, fifth fastest selling accessory. And I actually got that story. Hang on, let me looks like I asked.
It's the best-selling gamepad ever, right? Or fast?
No, it's the second best-selling gamepad. So, and this is by dollar sales. So, number one is, these are accessories, is the Xbox 360 Kinect with Kinect Adventures.
Oh, right.
Number two is the Xbox 360 Kinect with Gunstringer and Fruit Ninja. Different SKUs. So,
Gunstringer.
Fucked if I remember, man. I don't know. People probably just bought it for Fruit Ninja.
Yeah. Kinect, man.
And then number three is the DualShock 4 wireless black controller. So it made more money in the first 3 months than any other controller. But number four is the Wii Remote with Motion Plus.
Oh.
And then number five is Xbox Elite Wireless Controller Series 2. And that, you know, it's $180, so, like, it doesn't have to sell as many to, like, make as much or to, you know, to chart as high on here. But still, that's really impressive for a $180 controller. All right, yeah, that might do it for the news. Not much else happening. Just January was it was very quiet. I think most people are just recovering and waiting for the next generation to start, and they're not going to, like, put a big game out in January this year.
No, so. I mean, things, like, are generally just kind of quiet because we have, you know, we have the console cycle rotating, and, like, the one person who isn't is Nintendo, but even they are, like, pretty quiet right now. We keep expecting a Nintendo Direct and not getting it. Their next big game is, you know, coming out in March, and, like, they kind of seem content to, like, not do much till Animal Crossing comes out.
Right, yeah. We'll definitely get, like, an Animal Crossing, well, like, one more Animal Crossing Direct, or at least one more Direct that, like, has a chance to talk about Animal Crossing, I think, before that happens, but, yeah, we'll see. Or I hope we do, anyhow. Okay. Does it for the news. Let's get into what we've been playing. Let's start with you, Mike. What you been getting into recently?
Just still making my way through those Mega Man Zero games. I'm now almost beat Mega Man ZX, which is... The ZX game is weird because it's, like, the kind of Metroidvania Mega Man, but, like, not... Like, everything's connected, but it's not really, like, a map game, like, get upgrades. You can go back to things. Like, you still, like, accept missions, and the missions tell you where to go. And, like, once you go there, it basically starts, like, it's like a Mega Man level. So, it's kind of weird. And it's a little frustrating because the in-game map is real bad. It's just, like, a bunch, like, it shows you which levels are next to the other levels. Everything's, like, A1, A2, B2. But it doesn't give you a very good sense of, like, where the entrances and exits are. So, you're constantly, like, looking on your phone at, like, a map that somebody uploaded to GameFAQs 10 years ago. But aside from that, it's still, like, you know, a Mega Man, like, X-style game. And it has, like, different suits you can equip, which gives you different powers. And that's all good and fun. But, yeah, almost done with this compilation. So I think reviews are going out. I don't know if I'm allowed to say. So who knows? Reviews will come out sometime.
Okay. But it sounds like you've been, like, happy to be able to, like, play through these games. Like, you
have
any issues, really.
Yeah, and, like, these games are, like, some of the many games I wasn't as super familiar with, so it's been fun to kind of just go through them. And, yeah, they are all at least good.
Wonderful.
Especially cool. Like Mega Man. You know, I mean, they're, you know, it's in that kind of dashy wall-climbing genre of Mega Man games, you know?
Yeah.
And no. I think we all like some dashy wall-climbing.
Yeah, I was playing Sonic Mania over the weekend because my kids have been, I don't know, for some reason getting excited about Sonic, and I played as Knuckles, which I never really had done much before in my entire life. Hadn't played many of those games as Knuckles. And having him be able to fly around and climb up walls, I like that. That was good. Oh, yeah. That was like a nice way to play Sonic games. The other game I've been spending time with, though, is Dead Cells. They released some DLC.
The Bad Seed DLC.
And this is their first paid DLC. It's $5, whether you get it on Switch or, you know, Steam or wherever. And I picked it up on Switch and started playing through that game again. And first of all, it turns out that game is still really good.
Right.
Turns out it is. It feels great to play. The sort of running through a level, getting the stuff, picking up power ups, dying, and then, you know, being able to put some cells in those power ups and unlock more stuff. That's still a really good it's a good loop, and I'm surprised that, like, coming back to it after like around a year or whatever, I'm like, man, this still has its hooks in me. I could fall right back into this, and it's happening. As for like the new stuff, so the way that these DLCs are working, the free one and this paid one, is they tend to add a lot of new enemies, some new weapons, and then like new biomes, which is what they call their levels or whatever. And I think this one adds a new one up front and another one in the late game. I haven't seen the late one yet because I'm still like, I. Whatever, something happened to my save or whatever, so I had to like start over, which I'm fine with. So I've been kind of going through the regular sort of stages to unlock the runes I need. But there's an early one up front, and it's distinct, and there's a lot of cool stuff happening in there, a lot of cool enemies. Just in terms of like the style and stuff, but I haven't played through it enough to like really get to see like, oh, is this like really separate and new and worth the money? It seems like at $5 it definitely is, just to like get all the other extra stuff that it comes with, and really to maybe break up the flow of like going to through the same stages each time. That was one thing I remember, like after playing like 90 hours of Dead Cells when it first came out, it was like, okay, these early stages actually are starting to like run their course now, and I do wish there was some more variety up front. And now this offering, that it's like, okay, that alone might make it worth it, just to sort of break things up and keep things interesting and keep you on your toes when you're working through these stages. But just overall, it's like, I love this game so much. I was really happy to just give the developers another $5 and then get back in there and just start playing again. And I'm going to stick with it and try to see like all the aspects of the DLC, see like everything it has to offer. Cause I didn't even like, I can't remember like the Land of Giants or whatever the first DLC was called. I never even touched that. So I'm like, I'm gonna see what that was all about and see how that changes things. I know one thing that does is like, it creates like this giant like gash in the wall where, right when you start, and you can go through it, and then you just go pick up this key that's inside of it. And then you need to carry that key through most of the game and to the specific level so you can open this new biome at the end. And I haven't been able to successfully get to there with the key yet, so I haven't opened that yet. But that's like, you know, not much else is happening. There are some games coming out soon. Dreams is happening. It came out. I want to put some time into that, but I haven't done
that. It's like
yet.
An intimidating thing to like start.
Yeah, it is. So, but like, I am going to do that. But you know, when I'm sitting around and I have my Switch around, I'm going to be playing a ton of Dead Cells. So I'll probably check back in with that next week and update you on that. But
did you see the Sonic movie?
I did not see the Sonic movie.
Not much to talk about then.
Yeah, well, I mean, I want to hear about it. Like, tell me what you think.
You know, it's good. It's fun. It's still a kids movie, ultimately, but like,
right.
It is surprisingly not like, you know, it's not like the Alvin and the Chipmunks movie from a bit ago, where you're just rolling your eyes constantly, and it's just right. A barrage of, you know, fart jokes. There is a fart joke, and it is unfortunate, but, you know, you can get over it. But, you know, the movie is, it's brisk, nice 90-minute runtime.
You don't love the occasional unfortunate fart joke?
No, not really.
Yeah, you're over it. Fair enough.
Say. Maybe I'm just an old cynical grump now. But
I guess so.
Even just a fart joke here and there, it's like,
yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
That's okay.
Oh, it's a good thing they changed the character, right?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. That's the funniest game to play while you watch it. It's just to pretend that it's not the new Sonic, because so much of the movie kind of depends on this new Sonic being sort of cute and likable and kind of odgy, and like, it just wouldn't work if he was like that monster thing that he was at all.
Yeah, I mean, you see some people like, oh, we don't know if this movie would have done it, like, if it wouldn't have done just as well if they didn't change it. You have no idea. And I'm like,
it would not have.
I'm like, okay, I really don't think it would have, because kids actually like cute things, and they're like, and like, the appeal of Sonic is so obvious to me as a parent. Like, when my kids see Mario and Sonic, either one, there's just like, I don't play a ton of those things in front of them. So it's not like, oh, they're being exposed to it because their dad plays and now they want to check it out. It's like, no, Emmy just found Sonic stuff on Netflix and started watching it on her own because she saw the character and was like, oh, cute. Like, that cuteness.
Yeah, people love Sonic, man. Yeah, the kids, and like, it just happens the same way.
It's just, there's an intrinsic appeal to the look of those characters. And if you mess that up, I think absolutely it's going to hurt the movie. But the movie did do just as well, like, no one would be talking about anything else except for the way the character looked, I would think. It would just be the one thing that would still hang over everything involving Sonic. And then I think the second weekend probably wouldn't do as well at the box office because everyone would be like, oh, yeah, it was an okay kids movie, I guess, but it was still a monster. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm glad they changed it. It seemed like a worthwhile investment, and I'm going to be happy. I'm going to happily have my kids sit down and watch it when we get a chance. So,
and it's now the best opening weekend domestically for a video game movie ever, which is kind of nuts.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm happy for it, and I think I'm I would have assumed that Detective Pikachu was going to do better, and so when it didn't, I was like, well, then Sonic probably has a ceiling too, right?
Yeah, Detective Pikachu kind of seemed like it punched under its weight.
Yeah,
like, it did well for video game movies, but like, I don't, maybe it was unfair to me. That wasn't like the barometer for that movie.
No,
to me.
I was expecting huge numbers.
I was like, Pokemon, biggest franchise. Media franchise in the world with this high profile movie finally that like looks pretty good and with stars in it, and no, not so much. Then this movie is like punching above its weight for like a bunch of factors. Right. Like, I'm not the, like, some people, like, they intentionally made the character bad and then redid it. Like, I don't think that happened, but I do think that it worked in their favor in a bizarre way. I think the fact that this is basically like the first like Jim Carrey comedy in a while also helps it. Like, there's a bunch of things. The timing is really good. There's not much else. Like, the only other movie, like, really is that Birds of Prey, which was a bomb. So,
yeah,
they're doing fine.
Yeah, I think that means we definitely get a sequel, right? And my understanding is,
we are absolutely getting a sequel.
My understanding is, like, yeah, they've already teased it in the movie itself, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, so yeah. I will be looking forward to the Sonic Cinematic Universe for sure.
What's happening? Sega Cinematic Universe. I need that Echo the Dolphin movie.
Yeah, yeah. You almost want them to, like, them and Nintendo just to agree right now. Like, let's just do it. Let's do a Smash Brothers Cinematic Universe. Let's really actually do that thing.
Why not?
Yeah, why not?
You say that at first, I'm like, oh, that's ridiculous. Then you think about it, I'm like, I mean, why not? It
would why not? Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we're still like. As well as this is doing, it's not like the super giant hit that's going to suddenly like convince everyone to hurry up and buy as many video game IPs as they can for their movie.
It's not going
to
make $1 billion worldwide.
It's not like what that Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie did back in 2001.
That's yes, exactly.
It was this giant hit, and then like all of a sudden it was superheroes all the time. Like, that's not happening yet. It's like a step there. Maybe if that Mario movie does well, it's like the other step. But like, at some point, like, that's going to happen, and we're not just going to get these kind of like B-movie video game things, like an occasional weird Resident Evil movie or something like that. Like, we're going to start getting like high profile Legend of Zelda, Metal Gear Solid, BioShock movies. Like, that's going to happen. They might even make that Uncharted movie someday. Who knows?
Well, let's not get crazy. Let's not say anything that we know isn't true. I'm excited. I'm happy with most of my video games being video games, but we've seen with The Witcher, like, honestly, what it does is, I haven't watched The Witcher on Netflix, but it gets people excited about the stuff, and more people are into the games, and that's fun too. Like, just getting people like, more people want to play this and talk about it. That's fun, and there's nothing, like, that could be a good thing for games overall.
That's what I'm also kind of curious about here, is what this means for the video games, because this version of Sonic has a lot more to do with like the Genesis stuff, that kind of Sonic Adventure and so on stuff. So there's already been kind of like a going back to that with Sonic Mania. So I wonder if like that's going to kind of reinforce that a bit more, or just something else different, or not at all.
Yeah, you wonder if like Sega is looking at this and looking at Sonic Mania and being like, huh, maybe we should just kind of go back to that full nostalgia, because kids like that stuff too, and you know, there's a whole audience that like shows up for the movie and pays for it. So, yeah.
Well, we're supposed to be getting like Sonic news every, what, 20th this month or something like, or every 20th this year.
Really?
So, yeah, there's something weird like that. And someday. And one of the things is going to be at South by Southwest, which before is where they announced Sonic Mania and Sonic Forces. I feel like we're going to get a Sonic Mania 2 announced this year.
And that maybe seems like, about right, yeah.
And maybe like another Sonic Team game, which hopefully this time isn't like Sonic Forces, and maybe something a bit more cute. And like Sonic Forces is like the opposite of what you should do with Sonic. And I don't know why they keep trying to do like the gritty or like darker or weird Sonic thing, where it's just like, no, make Sonic just kind of cute and like nice and like fun.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, but what if he has a gun?
Yeah, like he was radical in the 90s, but like 90s radical was still very cute. It was still Trapper Keeper. Like if you were a badass in the 90s, you had a Trapper Keeper with like some black in it a little bit, but it's like,
right.
It's completely different than like the grimdark stuff that exists today. It's
right. Oh, Sonic should
spectrum.
Sonic should wear the gun that killed his parents on his chest.
Yeah, exactly. Like a real badass. Did God, anything, I got chills.
Did anything hurt you more than reading the comments for the
fuck
people?
No,
like,
Mike,
expectations Mike, are so high now, Mike, I'm getting chills.
I can't get over it, Mike. It upsets me so much. It really does. I'm like,
we're talking about the Batman thing, in case people don't know.
The first like still images from the Matt Reeves new Batman movie, The Batman, it shows a little bit of Batman's suit, and the theory, I guess, I don't know if they've confirmed this, but the theory is that the bat emblem on his chest, which looks like it has gun pieces in it, those are the guns that killed his parents, and he wears them on his chest all the time, just like the most fucking emo shit. Okay, look, that's one thing, but Mike, like Mike was saying, the responses to that were just like, oh man.
Like people were like acting
this is
like
art. This is art, just, man.
People just saw the Mona Lisa for the first time or
something.
Yeah. I was like, oh my god.
Okay. Like guys, let's just take it down a notch, please.
Everybody.
It might like, be a pretty fun time, but
the audience that helped the Joker make $1 billion
yeah.
is really excited about this.
And so I just feel like I'm on another planet.
I know. I've been feeling like that more and more. I never wanted to be a cynical person when it specifically when it comes to media, and I've been trying. It's been taking more effort than
ever lately. Yeah, it's like I gotta like control myself here because I don't need to blow this out of proportion. There's just some people that have taste that's different, maybe sometimes worse, but most of the time just different. It's tough. Man, it's whack though. I just hate that thing
it's
so much.
It's so awful. It's so like, bad. To be clear, like I'm still like. Gonna give that like I'm not like against that movie.
No,
like, yeah, fine, yeah. Sure,
Matt Reeves made dope like two really great like Planet of the Apes movies that were like that just kept getting better. He makes good movies. I bet this is gonna be a good movie too. I just
like that specifically. Like,
like the eye roll. I don't know if I'll ever stop eye rolling on that. Yeah. All right, let's. I think we could wrap this up. I don't have any other games really. There's some stuff I want to try.
Are you still playing Mario Odyssey, or did you get your?
I am. No, I am still playing that, but like Dead Cells, starting to play that on the Switch. It's like, okay, I'm playing something else. But I went back and I'm continuing to make progress and got through like the Lake Kingdom and got through the other one right around there. I can't remember which one it is now. But yeah, it's still a great game. It's just fantastic. I'm glad I'm playing it again because it's like. I felt like there was some backlash to it, and it's one of the reasons I'm grateful that you're always like, oh, it's my game of the decade. I'm like, yeah, that game is actually as good as I remember. Some people are like, oh no, it's actually kind of not a good 3D Mario. And I'm like,
yeah, shut the hell up.
I'm like, I don't believe that, but I'll go back and play. Oh no, it's fantastic. It's wonderful. They should just make a sequel to this game with more ideas that's exactly like this. Just do that. I would love that. All right, Mike, let's wrap this up. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Tolkoto, TOLKOTO, and I'm always on GamesBeat. And my other big podcast right now is 90s Disney, so check out 90s Disney wherever you find podcasts if you want to learn about things like theme park rides and Disney movies from that decade.
And I am Jeff Grubb on Twitter and Jeff Grubb on Twitch and youtube.com/Jeffrey Grubb. I just posted a video of the new Logitech Stream Cam that they're making for content creators and streamers and stuff. And that's on that YouTube channel. You can check that out and see see how it looks. I think it's pretty good. It's I think it might be really good for like people who do like makeup tutorials and stuff, but it also should just work just fine for people streaming stuff to Twitch as well. And that does it for us this week. Why don't we go ahead and do it again next week? And until then, have a good one, and goodbye.